Good morning. It is that time again. You are joining us now with the Dr. Leslie Show. This is Holistic Living and Wave of Fire, your bridge to wholeness in body, mind, and spirit. This is WGIV 103.3 FM and 1370 AM and tunein.com if you're tuning in on the internet. Listeners, this is a very special show today. I'm excited to be introducing with us a couple of special guests and co-hosts. First, I want to honor our man, Merck, who's always here. Merck's got our back on the Dr. Leslie Show. Thank you, Merck, the spiritual man of the board and music and radio. Thanks for being here. And I want to introduce to you now, listeners, my dear sweetheart husband, Ken.
Hi, honey. Good morning, all. I'm so happy to be here. This is a fantastic opportunity for us to talk about how life has changed for us over the past few years as we've gotten to know one another. It has been an amazing journey. Dr. Leslie and I have really made some amazing strides in the past 3 years, and so we're going to talk about that this morning.
That's right. That's right. So I just want to remind those who are new tuning in, I want to let you know that this is our second Foundations course. Today is class number 2 on the Believe It, Become It series, which is about manifesting your dream life. Okay? And so, you know, there's some certain things that need to happen before what we call the law of attraction can really work for you. I mean, let's just say that all of the laws that exist, you know, like the law of gravity, it happens on Earth all the time, right? Whether you know it or not, it's there. And if you drop that thing, it's going to fall unless something intervenes to stop that from happening. And that's exactly how the law of attraction is, okay? So we are creative beings. We were created that way in the image of that which we call God. Just as God spoke the word and created the earth and created mankind and everything that exists, there is, you know, from that one source. And in that same way, we are also source. We are the source of our own world around us.
And so we attract circumstances into our lives based on how we perceive and how we are being that creative self that we are.
That's exactly right, Ken. And so really, you know, what does that really mean? I'm going to say at the deepest level, remember that our physical body and all things physical are actually built on an energetic matrix. Are the physical world around us is actually slow-moving particles enough to where they show up in a physical way, okay? And so we perceive them that way. And we've talked about how even in martial arts, people are taught how to focus their minds in such a way that with your thoughts and your focus, you can raise the frequency of even something physical to where it's not quite so physical anymore, okay? It's kind of like ice becoming less solid when it becomes water, becoming even less solid when it becomes steam. All of a sudden, you have something that was really hard and solid sitting there that's actually becoming a gas, okay? In a funny, similar way, we can change the dynamics of that which is physical. We can raise the frequency of it with our own thoughts to where it becomes less physical, and then we can, like, put our hand or foot through a board, and that board is less physical than our hand or foot, so the hand or foot doesn't get injured. The board breaks, okay? And so, and certainly there's, listeners, please don't try that at home. Unless you've got your, you know, unless you've got your martial arts training in there and someone showing you how, then please don't try that at home. But at any rate, with special training, we have the power to do these things. And the frequency we are holding ourselves, okay, which means all of our field and all of the being that we call us, okay, which is our physical body and all of our non-physical bodies that extend out beyond that, we're holding a certain frequency, and that frequency is a match to a certain reality.
And you can see that non-physical body when you look at how other people view you. So another person can look at you and you see them smile. You have affected them in an interesting way. It just turns out that your field has projected from you in a way that you have changed them physically. They actually smile at you or grimace or whatever based on their perception of the field that you emanate.
Yeah, I agree with that. And you know what, honey? I was just thinking about how we can even be feeling love towards another, even when we're not smiling, they'll feel that in the field. Okay? We can actually be holding a presence that affects all that is around us. But really what I want to get back to in preparation for your story, because I'm so happy that you're here today to share with the listeners what you have to say, sweetheart. But I wanted to, in preparation for that, I just wanted to remind us all that this law of attraction, or I'm going to say the river of well-being that is always flowing and just exists all the time. There's nothing that we have to do to make that happen. It just is, just like gravity just is. And things are going to fall. If you drop it, it's going to fall at a specific rate. Do you know what the rate is?
9.8 meters per second squared, or 32 feet per second squared.
I just knew my numbers man would come up with that.
Of course.
So exactly at that rate is what something is going to fall to the earth because of the law of gravity, and it's always consistently there. Okay, same with our river of well-being, or the law of attraction, which is always consistently there. We will be drawing to ourselves our highest good and our highest choice all the time, unless, hello, there's that big word, unless something is altering that natural flow. And we can alter that natural flow of goodness and what we intend coming to us all the time by stinking thinking. Okay? So if we actually are holding in our frequency blockage, remember how we've talked about that we can block the flow of energy even with our thoughts. And then that even works through the body. With, you know, our body is a conduit to where energy and life force should naturally be flowing through it all the time. And whenever there is pain, disease, any sort of distortion in function in the body, there's always blocked energy. And we talked about the ways that we can block that flow. And it can be through poisons or toxins in our diet. It can be through, well, let's say physical, chemical, and mental emotional stress can all cause blockage. Unexpressed emotions can be stored and cause blockage. Negative thoughts and feelings can be stored and cause a blockage within the body. And today, what I really want to introduce here in the holistic living portion of the show is that not only within the body, but outside of the body, we create a field that is either open and flowing, which is our natural state, and receiving all the goodness of that river of well-being and of the laws of attraction, where we are drawing to us everything that we really intend and would love for ourselves and our lives, or we're blocking that. Okay? And so today, Ken, you have a very, very profound story to share, and I just wanted to preface it by saying, by reminding the listeners, and for those who this is a new conversation to help them understand that how we think and feel actually has a profound effect on what's coming into our lives, okay? And you can be in the driver's seat of what's showing up in your world if you align with the divine and actually bring your whole being into what we call the God zone, or the flow of goodness that comes like that. Now, there's a number of ways to become open like that to release the blockages that we are being. And, you know, our dear friend Judy Satori, who we're going to be airing a transmission later in the show from, brought through from the Elohim and Archangel Metatron, Judy Satori brings through some tools that help to connect with and clear some of those blockages, actually help to connect with the blocked energy and our own beliefs and let's just say, stored residue from the past that we're holding in our body, mind, and field that blocks that flow of goodness. We're going to experience that tool a little bit later of helping to clear those things. And remember that you can always go onto her site for more of her activations and transmissions, and that's on thesoundoflight.com. Okay. But, Ken, today, what I really want to do is allow you to tell your real story to the listeners about how you went from one state of being in your life, attracting one quite in some ways extreme circumstances into your life, and how you shifted that into another state of being and attracting a completely opposite set of circumstances, which is really extreme. And so, listeners, we're just going to take a momentary break, and when we come back, Ken is going to tell his profound story. And I'm going to start with a real quick reminder of how we met, because it's all quite miraculous. And really, miracles, what we call miracles, is actually just stepping into the flow of what's natural and normal. If we understand how it is, then it's not a miracle that if we drop something from the top of the building, it doesn't float into the air and it falls straight to the ground, okay? It's really not a miracle that we can draw into our lives exactly what we intend. We just need to understand how to be open for that to happen, and then it's just natural. So we'll be going to step into that right after this break. This is a conversation about our sponsorship. So hold on for just a moment, and we'll be back with that introduction of Ken and his story. Yes, this is Dr. Leslie with a word from our sponsors, which are our listeners. Yes, listeners, in this era of community consciousness, this show is an extension of the essence of love and unity. If it is in divine will for this show to carry on, it will live as an example of generosity from the listeners, you, who receive its gifts, those who receive blessings and benefits from the show. If you feel called to do so, please contact me with your ideas for financial support or make your own contribution. Even $5 from each listener would enable us to not only continue this show, but even to offer a second weekly show and offer the recorded shows in MP3 format for you to download, which actually is already available on the website, which is bridgeholistichealing.com on the radio page. Your voluntary tithe towards this work of God is received with much gratitude. My faith and trust to carry forward with this work increases with every cent. Listeners, our goal for the month of May is $1,200, which covers the current costs of the Dr. Leslie Show. That's $1,000 to WGIV for using their radio station and the airing of the show, and $200 for the boards and show preparation. Right now, we have received to date $237. Thank you so much, listeners, for your generosity and donations. Those donations have come from this global ministry is being represented by, number one, Ireland, and Australia. I believe Victoria, Australia is represented on the map of our listeners donating. And thirdly, from Texas, the state of Texas in the United States. Thank you so much from the bottom of my heart for helping to support the Dr. Leslie Show. Again, if we are going to carry forward on the air, it's up to you, and we're just standing in faith and trust that divine will play out. If it's meant to be for this show to carry on, you'll be prompted in your heart to bring forward what's necessary. Thank you so much for that. And one more word on that. We have gotten a word from one of our listeners, Farah Noel, and her suggestion was that we open up online shopping to help promote the show and to help give the financial support that the show needs. In line with that, Judy Satori has put herself forward to let us put on our shopping Judy's Picks, which will be products that Judy recommends and that are aligned with the work that she is helping you with. So we'll have Judy's picks and our broader online shopping. It's being constructed right now. And when you go and purchase the things that you would like to buy from our site, you will also be providing financial support for the Dr. Leslie Show. So thank you and blessings. Thank you for your support. Welcome back to the Dr. Leslie Show. This is a very special moment, listeners, because you're ready to hear a show-stopping story about a life of massive change and movement from alignment of blockage to alignment to receive from that river, that stream of well-being that's always there for us. My husband, Ken, is here now to share his story. Ken, I'm going to turn it over to you and let you share with the listeners how life has gone. Actually, first, should we tell them how we met?
We should tell them how we met. I was in Cherry Grove in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, walking down the beach. It was a beautiful, sunshiny day. It was July of 2010, and you know, I was just enjoying the beauty of the day and just happened to glance over, and there Leslie was. On sand, she was just sitting in a chair, and I caught her eye for a moment, and I continued on down the beach walking, and walked for probably 5 minutes, but as I walked, I kept having this vision of this woman that I had just seen come back to me. Something was drawing me back. Something was attracting me. Mm. And so I turned around and walked back. And I walked, it seemed like, for a long time. And I was like, well, I just must have missed her. And then there she was again. So I walked right up and stood right in front of her.
Now, listeners, I want to give you a little history on that. Some of you have already heard this story. But for those that are new, 5 days before this day, I had been reading a book called Cosmic Ordering for Beginners, and I decided to put into practice a new method of connecting with the divine and making what some would call a prayer request. I'm going to say it was a heavenly order because it wasn't a request. It was like handing in my order at a restaurant, like this is what I want to eat, and then you just let it go and know that it's coming. And so I actually had written down the qualities of a new relationship I would like to have in my life. And I had a witness. I brought in a friend who was there at the beach with me, actually someone who was assisting me with some writing I was doing. And he was my witness, and I wrote down these qualities, and I said, and then I did some specific things, actually, with that written order that I'll share with you later. But I've set that aside and just let it go. And this particular day was my last day there at the beach. This is when I was living in New Zealand, and I was visiting the United States. So 5 days after writing that heavenly order, I'm sitting on the beach, and hundreds of people were there walking up and down, and I'm clearing things on my phone, and suddenly I notice this pair of feet come and stand in front of mine and wait for me, and I look up, and there's this handsome, gorgeous face of the man who's sitting in front of me now, okay?
Yeah.
So we talked for about an hour. And then he had to go and said, what are you doing later? And I said, oh, I'm free. So we were going to meet up. And I know I got up from there and ran up the beach to my friend who'd been the witness to my order. And I said, Michael, did you see that man? And he smiled and said, yeah, that's why I didn't go over there. And I said, how many days has it been? And he thought for a minute and he goes, 5 days. And I said, that's my manifestation rate. 5 days. I just knew that this man had come from heaven because it just, I don't know, it felt like nothing I'd ever felt before. I could just tell that this was something beyond what I was, you know, beyond normal, that this was actually coming from the divine.
Abnormal.
That's right.
That's what Larry Allen
says. Abnormal. So we
Bishop
met
Larry
a little
Allen.
Bit later and then went walking down the beach.
And that's when I told Leslie my story. It, you know, life really passes you some curves sometimes, and you know, in the twists and turns that make up your life, sometimes you do things that you're really just not proud of. And when I was in college, this was nearly 30 years ago now, when I was in college, I was just a little bit out of control and not in my body. I was just, you know, just totally, you know, a different person. I don't even recognize that person now. But I did some things that I was not proud of, and I went to prison for those things. And I spent a long time in prison. And my thinking, my mindset when I got there was, you know, life's over. It's, you know, it was just, it was a horrible set of circumstances. And as any of you can imagine, you know, it felt like your life was over and that it was wrecked. And so time went by and I dug down into myself and started looking for answers as to, you know, how and why I could have come to this set of circumstances and how life could change for me. And you're laying there at night in the deepest sort of pain that you can imagine, examining your life and thinking of your failures and you know, feeling sorry for yourself. And then it struck me, you know, life really isn't over. You know, there is going to be an end to this condition, and this condition being, you know, being in prison. And at the end of that condition, there's going to be, you know, some better thing. Now, it was a long, long way ahead, and I started, I guess, my transition, and I changed my thinking patterns and started looking upward when I was probably in my late 20s. So
that means that when you'd been in prison for about
8 years, about 8 years at that point,
you started changing. So do you think that everyone who's in prison lays there at night contemplating their lives in the way that
I
you did?
I don't think that. I know that.
Oh, really?
Well, you can see 100 sets of eyeballs looking at you sometimes, and you're in that place in the dark of the night, and I think that's probably the darkest place you could ever be, even though the room is really lit up. It's the darkest place you could possibly be. And
can I interject here that I feel that there's a lot of us out in the world who are technically, from that perspective, free, but actually living in prisons within our own minds and our own worlds, that there's a lot of people in prison who aren't behind bars. And sometimes it seems that the best plan for someone's life is to pull them into a confined space like that, where they're forced to
reconcile their behaviors and to reach inside themselves to find something better.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And can I just say, listeners, that a lot of times life will pull you into something that makes that happen for you, and you might really resist and be angry at your circumstances. But you may, if you allow yourself to go deeper the way Ken did, you may see that you're needing to be put in a bit of a prison to give you a space to look deeper and to make some changes.
So I had a conversation, I guess it's probably only been about 10 days ago, with Bishop Larry Allen, you know, the bishop of our church, and we talked about poverty and suffering. And while we were having the conversation, you know, it struck me, and I just, you know, I go back so many times, I'll go back to those conditions and those times, and I thought about, you know, the depth of suffering and poverty that you feel when you try to reconcile your own behaviors. When you dig so deeply into yourself, you realize that the true poverty isn't a lack of things, it's lack of connection with spirit and with people who care and with, you know, your vision for your life and those sort of things. So there's where your poverty is.
So did you come to realize that while you, at this like 8 or 10 years of being in prison?
Yes,
you started,
I did.
So does that mean that within yourself, there was awakening in your own individual way, a connection to Source or a connection to that which we call God?
Absolutely. And so at that point, you know, I began to change. And change is a slow process, but I began to change in ways that were measurable fairly quickly, in that I started working out. I started caring for myself again, started
okay.
loving myself again.
So I started nurturing your physical body.
And with that, I started working for jobs that had better sense of responsibility. I started going back to school and to college.
This
and
is,
to
can
vocational
I just
school.
Want to tell the listeners, this is school and college that's made available within United States prisons. So a lot of prisoners are getting educated within the prison system in the U.S. That's not available in all countries.
And then I started embracing the me that is me again. I started believing in myself and believing that despite your circumstances, you can really lead and you can be better for it in the end. And so
now, what brought you to that change? I mean, what within being behind bars and being a convicted prisoner and having kind of that, I don't know, daunting identity placed on you by I would say probably those that are running the prison and by the public and so on. What inspired you to actually turn your thinking to start seeing your own value and getting to your own self-love, Ken? I want to point out to the listeners that it sounds like one of your first steps once you made your choice was to start nurturing your body and doing things to love and care for you. And we get that, you know what, that would already be raising your frequency in and of itself.
Absolutely.
So that it's easier to take the next step.
Yes, and so looking back on it now, I can see that there were stepping stones in the path that led me up out of that abyss.
Okay.
Because if you can really fathom what it means to reach the bottom, I mean, I don't know how many people can really understand what that bottom is, but that bottom is a very, very deep place.
Sometimes we call it the dark night of the soul.
The dark night of the soul,
and it
exactly.
can happen within prison as far as
have
behind
to be
bars,
prison.
Or it could be in the prison in your own mind.
Exactly. So you reach that depth within yourself, and then there really is only one direction. And when you shift in that direction. That direction is away from that deepest, darkest part of yourself.
This takes me back to the pain to gain conversations we had. So you were actually moving into the pain and then started feeling the gifts, actually transforming into the gifts.
Right, right. So then I started moving away from that. I started reconciling what was spirit, what was God, how does that manifest in your life. I started reconciling my connection to other people, and I think I have unique and special relationship skills now with just about anyone, because I've been in a place where everybody is at their very worst, and I was able to find the best in them there.
Mm-hmm.
And so once that happened, I started mentoring people and started leading people. And I started teaching classes on anger management after I had learned to manage my own anger.
Okay. Hold on a second. Oh. How in the world did you go from being in that deep, deep, dark abyss to starting to see the best in all of these people around you who are at their worst? I mean, how did that happen? Reach back and see if you can.
Well,
find,
you know, when you're in that place, you recognize the other people that are. You can tell when somebody else is in that place. And so then, you know, once I started moving away from that, I wanted to bring those people with me.
Okay. So what I hear you describing is what we call the compassion that awakens from suffering. So that you're moving from a place of suffering and letting that pain work a good in your own heart, where it sounds like from that place of suffering, you actually moved into a place of recognizing suffering in others and having compassion for them and wanting to reach out like that.
Absolutely. And so, you know, once I started reaching out to other people, it turned out that they needed that and wanted that. And I started bringing them towards me. And as I was struggling to reach the light, it was as if the whole direction had shifted and I started pulling people with me. I remember when I walked out the door of that place after having been there almost 26 years.
This was how long before the day we met, honey?
This was 5 weeks before the day we met.
5 weeks before. You were walking out the doors after 26 years.
After 26 years. And on that day, every man in my building, every single man walked up and shook my hand. And every one of them, I think, you know, recognized the good that I had brought to them, you know, when I was tutoring math or when I was having a conversation about why you would want to bring your family down for the weekend or, you know, all the different little conversations, all of which added energy and good energy to that system and brought those people up, you know, and they recognized it and they came and shook my hand. And I was moved to the core, and still am thinking about that day. And then 3 hours later, I'm standing in a different world, a world that has color. It's like turning black and white TV off and turning color on. And being the most retarded human on the planet because I didn't even know how to pump gas in a car or do little simple things. And
you'd be like an alien that just landed on planet Earth.
26 years, and my driving is still abysmal. You can ask Leslie. That's true.
But I don't. That's another conversation, listeners. Oh my goodness.
But imagine all of the things that you do, you know, for all of those years, and then stepping out and not having done those things, and having to catch up and. Yet I was so excited, I was so anxious to do that, and then, you know, I got home for me was Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, and I got home and was able finally to spend some time around my folks, and everything seemed huge and small. You know, their home seemed so small after living in a space so large.
And a lot of people don't understand that because they think of prison as being like this real small cell. Why don't you tell them what that was?
But everything is on a large scale there. You walk into the cafeteria and there are 300 people sitting there eating at one time, and that's every meal. It's like going to K&W cafeteria for breakfast, lunch, and dinner every day, day after day after day after day.
And then
you get used to it. You just acclimate yourself to that environment.
Uh-huh.
And everything is on that sort of scale. So while, yes, there is the cell, you step out, and the cell is connected to this huge space where there's a whole bunch of other ones. And then every place you go is large and filled with people.
Mm-hmm.
So that was my existence for years, and then so the silence crashed into me when I was laying in the bedroom at my parents' house, and there was no noise. There's always noise, but there was no noise. It was just completely alien to what I was used to.
Do you believe that a lot of people who've spent that much time in prison don't adapt well to the world once they come out?
In my experience with the people that I have connected with who have since gotten out, I haven't seen that. Mm-hmm. The ones who spent a good bit of time have actually adapted pretty well. And I have to say I'm very proud of those who have made a good life for themselves. I think that it's a tremendous accomplishment on their part that they were able to do that.
That's wonderful. Now, I actually want to lead the story here for a moment, Ken, to what's happened between us since you got out. I want to remind the listeners that when I met Ken, he was riding a bike and didn't have a driver's license and didn't own a car and was wearing clothes that were donated by the local church. Isn't that right?
That's absolutely right.
And you told me that when you came out those doors, you everything you owned fit into a 2 foot
a
by 2 foot box.
2 foot box.
Okay.
Everything that I owned.
Right. Mm-hmm. Now, listeners, can I just tell you that when I wrote that order and asked God for the perfect new relationship, I didn't actually write on there, I'd like an ex-convict who owns nothing and doesn't have a driver's license. I did not. I asked for the qualities of a relationship that I wanted, and I left the rest up to God.
Hallelujah.
And little would I have known that this amazing human being with this, to my mind at the time, slightly shocking history would be that most perfect relationship. And so we met that day on the beach. And I'm going to interrupt my story for a second to just say, just to introduce and welcome Mr. Frank Neely, who is the WGIV radio station owner. Frank has come in to join us. We told you he'd be coming. We're so honored to have you here. Thank you, Frank, for coming.
Thank you.
And so we're going to come and speak to Frank about his story in just a minute. But I really want to carry on with the surprises that which we call God can have in store for us. And the magic and miracles that can happen, you know what I've decided? How is none of my business. You know, if I talk to the heavens and say, you know, I would love for my heart to be full of heaven on earth, not just setting up for something after we leave here, but actually letting spirit come into matter and the Holy Spirit to bring through magic and miracles in my life right now, what does that look like? And I don't, you know, sometimes I don't even know what's best for me. And little would I have known that best for me, the most satisfying, healthy, and fabulous romantic relationship I could ever imagine would come through a man who'd just come out of prison and didn't own anything. And since that time, let's see, I went to New Zealand and we were on Skype every day for hours. And when I came back, within 3 months' time, Ken and I joined together, held our intentions in a similar way to create
A whole new life,
yeah,
a whole new existence.
Life. And what happened?
And so in 3 months' time, we went from having nothing to having a condo that we were in that was great, a great place to stay, that you manifested, actually. Then we got this fantastic job that moved us to the Charlotte area.
So let's not just skip over that too fast. I want listeners, we joined together, and in a similar way to me putting forward my heavenly order for a relationship, we very specifically put forward a heavenly order for a new career for Ken. And I want to say that in 3 months' time, he was hired onto a job earning six-digit figures. Okay? I mean, a substantial income after his pass, that's what showed up.
And it's a magnificent job that I still hold. In addition to that, we have...
And he was Employee of the Year last year at this large company.
And we have manifested our dream home. We've built a fantastic and incredible life. We had this magical wedding that was on Bald Head Island, which is down on the coast of North Carolina.
So what is it like for you, Ken, I mean, in such a short period of time, having gone through such a huge, huge shift from living in a prison and being in that kind of title on your head, like the Scarlet Letter,
being
so esteemed and honored in your place of work, being the Employee of the Year, being in a management role where people are looking up to you for leadership and so on, and us having the beautiful home that we have now. What is that like?
It's just been this magical transformation. It's like a chrysalis opening up and a butterfly stepping out. It's just been an unbelievable adventure, and life has been extremely kind to us, and I think it all is because of the beliefs that we've held. I remember when I was searching for that job, Leslie would say, think about your deserve, what you as a man feel like you really deserve. What is your true worth, right? Think about what you deserve, and that will come. And it did.
Yes. And can I say that when we have a lack of deserve, that puts up a block right then and there for that flow of goodness and well-being that would naturally come to us. Listeners, you really have to have your deserve up and remember that you are a son or daughter of that which we call God, that we are made in the image of our own source, that we are divine creators, really, on this earth, and we deserve all the goodness and joy in life that we can imagine, even beyond our imaginations. And with that point, I'd really like to turn the conversation to Frank Neely, who I understand had a bit of a spiritual prompting within his own life that led him to taking over this radio station. Frank, can you share with us what that was like?
Well, I like to say good morning to all our listeners. I know every now and then y'all get a chance to hear, and I'll come in. And Dr. Leslie, we'd like to thank you for coming up today and also being a partner with us over here. You know, we're a community radio station. We love giving information to the community. We love improving the quality of life for our community, and that's what it's all about. But, you know, we go way back to the days of the Rod of God ministry.
That's right.
Hallelujah.
And, that's right.
You know, all of us got a testimony. I remember when I first showed up at church, man, back then, I was a mess. Just a mess. You never know what God can do with a mess.
We just heard about Ken's mess.
But,
mess of a story.
Ken, a mess. But he has a way of giving you a testimony, not just for a day, but for a lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
So when I walked up in the church, you know, crack cocaine, Jerry Curls back in the day, you know, I always been a ladies' man. God, Lord, is that a weapon against me? It's like Superman and Kryptonite. Oh my God! But you know, through the love of the Lord Jesus Christ, you know, I was able to overcome some things. And as I overcame, I acquired some of the God-like knowledge that put me in a situation where no matter where I was that day, God could take me farther. And there was an outpouring of His Spirit. You know, when a lot of people say, how did God outpour His Spirit? God would raise something on the inside of you, can't nobody stop. Just like with your marriage, He can put it on the inside of you, all your girlfriends saying no. No, not that man. Like me buying radio stations. I mean, I never knew. Even just learning how to make a living in the construction industry. But you know, when you call on God, He will answer. A lot of people just don't believe it. And see, that's where teaching of God's word come into effect. When you teach that word and a person receive it in their heart, it creates life. And that life can cause you to marry Ken.
That's
cause
right.
Me to go and buy a radio station or grow a construction company or learn how to love myself and love others and respect others, you know, and learn how to be that faithful husband. And, you know, you can do some great things when you know the Lord Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's powerful. So can you tell us, I mean, it sounds like you went from, like Ken, being a mess, okay, to taking some progressive steps to where that which we call God, the source of all that is, awakened within you, and you, through your connection, through that which we call Jesus, you know, or Yeshua, okay, that there be a portal between you and what we call the Holy Spirit, okay, that brought an awakening with you, and it sounds like turn things around from going in one direction to a completely other direction, and then step by step, it sounds like this list of gifts are very similar to Ken's. This starts with self-love and loving and honoring others, and then you've clearly taken on a mission and vision within yourself to make an improvement in other people, or actually to be giving your gifts to the world, to be contributing.
Yes.
Like Ken was saying, he was contributing to the other prisoners and has been since he got out. What does that feel like to you to be stepping in that when you look back to where you came from?
From where I came from, no matter what I go through, I never quit praying.
Okay.
So going to church just showed me how to have a relationship with God.
Okay, so not this is open communication.
Looking above instead of just keeping the eyes down here.
Oh,
yes, Lord. If heaven opened up, if you can figure out the combination to open, it will open.
Okay.
It will open up for you.
Now, Frank, I'm talking to the listeners about how we can have the doors open to receive from that conversation or have them shut. And we talk about stinking thinking and hanging out with all the negative stuff can actually block us from receiving those gifts from God. How did you move your mind to where I can tell just by sitting in your presence what a positive person you are? The smile just sits on your face, right?
I think my great-granddaddy must have been a preacher or something.
Oh, yeah?
I think I wake up some morning and that DNA is just, it's just glory bound, you know, and I just know that there's nothing I can't have if I'm willing to put the time in with God.
Did you guys hear that belief that this man's holding? Can you just repeat that again?
I said, there's nothing I can't have if I put in the time with God.
There's nothing I can't have if I put in the time with God. Okay? And I'm going to say, so there's nothing we can't have if we are open and connected with that which is our source.
That's right.
Which is God.
That's right.
Yeah?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And, you know, no matter where you are today in your life, don't think it's a coincidence that you're hearing Ken and I and Dr. Lester talking about, you know, coming from ground zero, I would call it. And now we are at a place, you know, that, you know, we eat good of the land, we have nice things. But, you know, we haven't always had those things. And you're probably sitting out there and you're saying, you know, my life is going through this. I don't have a job. I don't have this. But one thing you have the right as a child of the Most High God to go to Him and ask Him and communicate with Him and let it be known what your heart's desire. I mean, God will move. He will move. How you know, Dr. Because I'm telling you, what I've experienced, you heard Ken, you heard Dr. Leslie, you've heard that God moves. Don't let people fool you. You know, with every generation, they become weaker and wiser. Don't let your wiseness and your understanding of what you've been taught from the educational community hinder you from exercising a gift that the Lord Jesus Christ left us with, and that's called faith.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Amen. And I mean, I've been getting chills.
Yeah.
I've been getting chills as Frank is sharing this. This is powerful, powerful. And that's what we wanted to speak of. And that Judy Satori is going to be bringing through angelic tongues of language that's not from here, but heavenly language, actually a gift of clarity, faith, and acceptance that helps us move into that place. Okay? And Frank, do you believe that faith would be the most powerful tool that we can stand on?
Hallelujah. 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 You know, okay. I was sitting up in church. I remember the first time I heard someone praying in tongues. Don't you know it took me all the way back to Africa? I'm just coming off of drugs, right?
Uh-huh.
And I never forget it. I was up in church and I heard this lady sitting behind me. She was like, "Hey, lalabo shanda da ba kanda da ba shinda la wa, hey, lalabo shanda da 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 da, ah, lalabo kanda da." And you know, to this day, I can be praying, and when I run out of stuff I want to pray for, and I start praying in tongues, I know God is just healing somewhere.
Is that awesome? Because you're opening up as a portal right then between heaven and earth and allowing that which we don't understand to move through and just trusting that which is beyond our little minds, isn't
it? Hallelujah.
Frank, I can't thank you enough for being here today. I want to tell the listeners quickly, I understand that now I've heard rumors that sometimes Mr. Neely gets guidance from God through dreams. Is that right?
Sometimes, you know, you have to be careful how you talk on radio. You know? These radio stations came in a dream.
Is that right?
I'm finna get ready to get out of Dr. Leslie. I'm finna get ready to exit. Listeners, Dr. Leslie and Ken will keep you blessed. Hallelujah.
Blessings, Frank. So, because listeners, I had a dream 2 weeks ago that I was interviewing Mr. Neely here on the show, and that's why he's here today. This is how the hand of God moves. Thank you, Frank, and blessings. And listeners, we are going to complete the show. This last chapter of our show today is going to be Judy Satori bringing through a message. Remember, we are not alone. And this is to open up clarity, faith, and acceptance in you as Judy brings through this transmission.
you are not alone. There are many who are unseen who are with you now, and they will shine a light to show you the way forward. Imagine now that you are surrounded and enveloped in the utmost love. Do not worry about where your life is going. Just know that the future will be so much more than you could ever dream it could be. Joy and abundance await you, even though you may not see right now how this could possibly be. Remember, you're an aspect of God. Surrender to what is. Let go and let God take you through this time of change and into a new time ahead. There are three energy transmissions to assist you now to move forward with ease and grace. These transmissions from the Elohim and the Archangel Metatron are to do with instilling positive and uplifting vibrations of peace, faith, and knowing that all is well. They keep reminding us that we are much loved and that we are never alone. The first energy transmission is for inner peace, calm, acceptance, and surrender to what is. Just sit quietly and place your hands palm up. A massage na mana na mana na mana kani mazala na mala sal na mala na mala shni moi na mana na mana na mala kala mala ki ye na mana na mala na mala na di an na mala na mala na mala na di alle na mala na mala na mala na di moi na na mana na mana na mana na mana na mana na na Mona na mana na mana na mana na na Mona na mana na mana na na Mona na mana na mana na 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 Now cross your hands over your heart chakra. Mi kakala kia sanashnya. E la malana malakanya. E la malakanya si. E la malasala malaki. Aina na mana na mana kanya. E la la malala malakin. E la la malakala malakin. Asa sa 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 sa. And take a deep breath. The second energy transmission is to assist you to walk forward with faith and trust. Faith and trust in yourself, and that right outcome will prevail. It's to assist you to take the highest path of your soul. Sit or lie again with your hands palm up. Just be like a sponge and let the energy wash over you and through you. Miki namadasan malaninya malaninya masanya malanamanadakanasiti malakatadishnamadati alelinya alidini alidini mokanya ekidatadishnamadakadikwenya Elli, 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 Mukada Dakata Badukai, Ay, Mukada Dakajeta Badukai, Ay, Mukada Kadabaloka the Dujina Manakai, Ay. Take a deep breath. And a little more. Miki kuka la katsishina makalaki. Mishina na manakala kaza dokazokia. Aki tatishina manakaza puku. Mesel la katsishina manakala balakudia. Malelia, malelia, la malelia, machina malaki. Malelia, shina malada malaki. Mesedda la 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 malakinia. Easy dear. Easy to you, Shinamana Malakanya. Mukoko could a better cut a better cock, could a better cut a better cock, could a better cut a better cock, could a better gray kitty. Macasta could a better cut a better cock, the better should a better kitty. Macalasta to better get a better kitty. Macata to the better cut a better cut a better kitty. Macata to cut a better get a better key. Macaca to better get a better deed, better get a better key, better deed. Macata to the better good deed. makaka ede de ko de ba de gdi mokate de ko de ba de gdi de de di mokade de di makate de ko de ko de de di mokade de di aka a a a a a a a a a a a a. And there's a little more. Mukoki sasha da da bakotia. Akaka laka the tisha da madaka da bukui. Akika laka 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 jinishina manakadi. Mesa la laki sanashina manakazidi. Asa sa 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 sa. And take a deep breath. And relax. This third energy transmission is to do with knowing. Knowing on every level of our being that all is well and all is as it should be. Makoki sejana makasako. Meke kalaka sejana manana malakana makui. Ode si namanishna malana malakasinya. Iki isa data sabato kujini sedakuya. Mesa la casa di Shinamana Namadaka de Bedakuya. Eki la ke la ke la ke la ke la Shinamadakuya. Meki la ke 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 la ke. Moko koki ke da bedoko de kushinia. Asa sa 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 sa. Take a deep breath and relax. We create in our reality what it is that we habitually think. These transmissions will assist you to create a reality based on faith and positive expectancy. This in itself will assist you greatly to move through changes ahead with grace and acceptance. There is nothing that can harm except fear. So be at peace. And know that all is well. You know, in the last 15 years as I've been working with spirit in this way, I've been gradually asked to step into ways of being and to do things that have brought up resistance in me, fear and resistance. What I now know and can say to you is that the energy, words, and the information that I'm receiving is so clear and I believe so true that it's spirit's way of holding our hand and walking beside us. It's true, it's absolutely real and true that when we let go of fear and resistance, all else can flow and our lives can transform. When we hold on to fear, it's like a ball and chain around a leg. We can't move forward. We can't create the changes that we want to make. And nothing really works for us in our life in the way that we want it to work for us. The major message of this energy work today is to let go of fear, trust, and have faith.
That's right. Thank you from Judy Satori about trust and faith. Listeners, thank you for joining us today. Again, we remind you that this is your show. We are dependent on your giving to keep the show on the air. So if you'd like to make a donation or listen to any of the previous shows, they are all listed now on www.bridgeholistichealing.com. Blessings and walk sacred. We'll see you next week.